We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Divisive times with fans going at each other, people kicking off at the club. Weirdly, the club kicking off at people in the past, but it all seems so serene at the minute, Si. It seems very nice. How are you feeling as the lads are back in the pre-season?
A little bit exhausted. Normally you get a nice break in June where there's just radio silence from the entire club, and you know there's not going to be any transfer business that early, so you just used to switch off. I used to just switch off from Newcastle for a month or two and just wait till the scramble, like a week before the season starts, when we realise we've signed nobody. The manager starts, like you say, kicking off with supporters who are asking him loads of difficult questions he can't answer. And then knowing that we're not going to be prepared and watching the shit unfold. Whereas there's been stuff to talk about each week. The club are doing a lot of things. There's been transfers have happened three times already, and it's so different that I'm a little bit exhausted, but in a good way, because it's just been non-stop, and you want to be part of it. You want to embrace Newcastle United the way it is, and the season ended almost too soon for us because of how well it was going, so it's almost like a continuation. It's nice that we haven't had a kind of fallen off a cliff, and it feels like we're starting from scratch. It feels like we really are, as a club, moving forward quite smoothly on from the last season.
Lovely to hear. Charlotte, how are you feeling? We're in July. Where's June gone? I don't know.
But it's I wish I knew.
It's in the past. How are you feeling kind of 5 weeks away from the... Well, in fact, it's less than five weeks. Yeah, wow. Kicking off soon. How are you feeling?
Well, our home friendlies are in like 4 weeks, which is just ridiculous. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling like... I guess tired as well. Like, there's just, you know, you can't switch off. You can't think nothing's going to happen, so I'll just be quiet. Like, it's just, I don't know, it's good. I mean, I'm frustrated as well because I wanted more information about the preseason, which I'm sure we'll talk about, and I wanted to go, which I'm not going to probably now, unless something happens. And so there's like this kind of frustration because we're still in that weird space of like, we've been taking over, things are good, things are positive, we're actually making signings, we're being tactful, blah blah blah, but then also the club's still like not telling us some stuff, and you know, it's kind of like it hasn't been a total departure yet. Eventually I'm sure it will be. I'm totally positive about that. I don't want to slag them off. I'm just like, maybe I'm wanting too much.
And I think that there's something in that. Let's talk about pre-season a little bit, first of all, on today's podcast. And, you know, I think the team play in 11 days in Austria, and there's no ticket information whatsoever. That's a bit shit for people who want to go. You can't have it all. You can either have your £35 million man, or you can have your tickets on sale for Mainz. One day we'll have it all, like you say. I think that's a bit frustration. I think there's a bit, little bit of frustration out there about the ticketing policy, full stop. Charlotte, you and Si, one of 30,000 odd who were in the queue for tickets. Waste of time.
Oh, totally, yeah. I got really excited because I was like, there's only 12,000 in front of me and they're putting 10,000 on sale, so it's totally fine. And some of those won't be. And then I was like, oh no, it's 1,000. It's not 10. So yeah, that was, I mean, you've got to try, don't you? But it was a futile endeavour. Congrats to the people that got them there.
The lucky 1,000.
Yeah, what a waste of a morning and a weekend, because I didn't qualify. So I had to find someone who did qualify who wasn't going to take up the opportunity. And I did manage to find someone by the Tuesday, whatever it was.
What's wrong with this person?
I don't know. Didn't want to ask.
just ride that wave.
I wasn't going to try and talk him into it.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you mean you don't want to go?
It was a strange one. And like we've said, we've done a lot of ticket stuff on our Patreon platform, which is £6.60 a month. We've been non-stop podcasting throughout the summer. So come and join us on that if you like what we do. If you don't, that's also absolutely fine. Keep listening to us on this. We still appreciate it. But yeah, there was some frustration that it took until like the end of June for that to be a thing. I don't really understand why. There was no way to keep everyone happy as Newcastle United. Whatever you decide, there was going to be someone who didn't agree with it, who thought it was a bad policy. You know, it's so easy for me to say, as a season ticket holder who has the one seat in the ground that I would pick if I could, in the corner at the back, able to stand, it's easy for me to say, oh, just let people in, don't sell season tickets, you know. But I understand that the club have gone for policy. If you sell individual tickets on a game-by-game basis, you let more people in, more people have access. That shit, though, if you want a season ticket. And, you know, they've done what they've done. Like, you know, memberships. There was a fucking crash on the website for memberships, which is hilarious. They seem to have sold out of membership packs. You can only buy a digital membership these days. I'm sure that's absolutely fine for most people. It's 10 or less, I think. But yeah, ticketing, like it is very much the conversation at the minute on social media anyway, and amongst Newcastle fans. It's how are we going to fit everyone into this ground, assuming the team continues to improve in the manner it has? It's going to be so hard to stay at St James's Park when you've got 70,000-80,000 people trying to access a football team and only 52,000 can get in. Yeah. It's definitely one for the future. Like you said, Charlotte, it's been a bit frustrating. They've put ticket prices up for the two friendlies, which are...
Yeah, £20 now.
It's like a 100% increase as well. Yeah, it's not like a small, you know, let's squeeze an extra £3 out of them. It's like double it.
And like, you know, you and I and Simon were talking about this when we were walking up to the office. You can see why, like, the demand is there. People are desperate to go and watch Newcastle United. They want to see our new site. Like, Sven Botman might get run out. Like, how exciting is that to see before the season starts? But equally, these games don't actually mean anything. And if you're a family that isn't going to go to the games most weekends, this is quite a cool opportunity to take kids and like a cup game, tenner a ticket, you know, kids full of, there's loads of children that go to those. And I'm a bit like, oh, that's a bit of a shame that that's so much more expensive.
Yeah.
Do they really need that?
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, I can't sit there at 3 o'clock in the morning refreshing Twitter hoping they'll announce Sven Botman's second signing on the 1st of July and then expect them to keep ticket prices the same. Maybe you can do that, but it is just part of being a more successful, better football team and club. It's going to cost more to watch them. £20, like, I don't think there'll be too many clubs up and down the country charging more than that. I can't see anyone saying, come and watch us play, I don't know, some team from the continent at home, and they're not going to say £35, please. £20 does feel, particularly since it's two games in 2 days, it's like if you want to go to both, and I know they're doing this offer of £35 for two, that's like, I'm going to go to both. I'm going to watch Newcastle United play twice inside 24 hours. What madness is this? What, you know, has Eddie Howe had enough sleep in between games? I don't know. We're going to find out.
He doesn't sleep.
I'm going to have to pay £35 to find out. He doesn't sleep, Charlotte says. He works too many hours in the day.
Yeah. He has like an efficient, like, he's still working, but he's like his body's in like a rest chamber. So
Jason Tindall wakes him up if he nods off. Yeah. Out of fear, Eddie Howe has to stay awake watching videos of Jonjo Shelvey play. Anyway, we've gone a bit off topic. Things are changing at the football club. You know what? If Newcastle keep winning games and continue to invest heavily in their first team, I'm sure, you know, most people will accept it. And you've got to, I suppose. All you can do is not go. And a lot of people can't go anyway because you can't get a fucking ticket for the game unless you're a season ticket holder. Enough of the negatives. Si, you want to talk about the transfer market, the transfer window. It's been very un-Newcastle United-like. I think before today, where Man City confirmed Calvin Phillips, I think Newcastle probably added more genuine first-team quality to their team more quickly than any other side in the Premier League. How are you feeling about it at the moment, mate?
You can't say anything other than it's gone pretty well so far, can you? Now, three permanent signings who walk straight into the team. There's questions around Dubravka. You know, there's competition there, but he may yet leave the club before the start of the season, so Pope would be number one. Target guaranteed to be our prime left back. And Botman, whilst there's questions about who you drop out of Sharon Byrne, Botman's going to be a key player. He's not going to just sit around on the bench. So yeah, three players immediately into the team. That's class. I don't think we've overspent. We've got Botman on a reasonable price. We've got Pope for a very good price. We've got Target for a very good price. So it's not like we've gone out and really blown the world away with some ridiculous record signings. These are shrewd, very good signings that have made us better. Like, it's just going really well as far as I'm concerned. Like you said, it's the start of July and we're in a brilliant position. Now, the only thing that's rumbled on for quite a while that doesn't look brilliant is this Hugo Ekitike situation. And, you know, this, it's my view that if he doesn't want to come, just pie him. Just let's get someone else, because surely Eddie Howe doesn't want to play who doesn't want to be here.
I agree with you. And you know, no dickheads policy. We only want nice lads, all that kind of stuff. Stuff which makes sense, but also who's ever intentionally signed a dickhead? But
Manchester United, Cristiano Ronaldo. Ask me another.
Yeah. I also think, though, imagine if he turns out to be, like, absolutely class. Like, if he turns out in 5 years' time to be absolutely mint and we were all fanning about because he put a, like, ropey Instagram post out there. Like, people, probably the next generation of fans, will look back and, like, heap scorn upon us.
Yeah, maybe. All right, I'm flipping on it says slightly. Seeing it from his perspective, maybe he's seen the kind of clamour for Callum Wilson, and the what we're talking about is Ekitike coming in as like understudy to Callum Wilson.
Yeah.
Maybe he's looking at that thinking, is that the best thing for me? What if the chances I get don't go well? And then that's my massive potential in a difficult spot. So maybe it's not the right move for him.
He's seen the treatment of Dwight Gayle and he's like, yeah. Do I want to be third choice behind Chris Wood and get 6 minutes a season?
I don't think the club or Eddie Howe would bullshit him to get him here and say, oh yeah, you're definitely going to start every game. They'd be telling him, look, you'd be part of a squad. We've got Callum Wilson. This is the crack. And maybe he's thinking maybe it's better to wait for a better offer, which I can probably understand. But we also, we need to add some attacking threat to this team. We don't know about Wilson. We might get really lucky. He might play most of the games. But even then, we've got Wilson, ASM, and Miggy, basically. We don't really want to be seeing Murphy and others featuring much if we're trying to kick on at the top.
Harsh on Ryan Fraser.
Yeah, he's got a part to play, I suppose. But, like, yeah, this team is defensively sound. We've got some really good defensive players and some really good holding midfielders. We don't score enough goals, and it's a problem we need to address. It's not all going to come through Wilson. Maximan and Miggy don't score enough either. Joe Linton doesn't score enough. Bruno's not meant to be a goal scorer, and he came in and was like our second highest scorer. Like, that's probably not going to happen. Just like with Joe Willock, he had a bit of a burst, but expectations of goals from Bruno isn't where we should be. We need our attacking players to contribute. And I suppose improvements across the squad will make that happen. You know, if we've got Target, we've already got Trippier, obviously. We've got Botman now. We've got Bruno. We've got players who are going to move the ball quicker and make a much quicker decision, and the correct pass will happen more frequently. And the ball's going to end up with Maximan or Miggy or Wilson 3 seconds earlier than it should have done before, and we get a better chance out of that. So ultimately, the squad is in a much better position, and that's promising, and we should get more goals from all the players who are there now. But I think just to take us that one step further, some competition for the players I've just mentioned is what we need. But I'm really positive about the improvement of the squad and the rate at which it's happening, and the fact that we're going to be ready for these imminent friendlies with some fresh faces, as well as players under their first preseason with Hauser. All in all, transfer business excellent. State of the squad looking excellent, as far as I'm concerned.
Didn't hear much love for Chris Wood there. Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
I think if you Hugo Ekitike, and nice. You know, if that is your concern that you might not play enough behind, like, injury ravaged Callum Wilson, you're probably, you know, just in terms of, you know, football intelligence, it would be a bad call. You know, I'm not annoyed about it. I feel like I do think it's really important, Charlotte, to bring it to you now. I do think it's really important that we add quality in attacking areas. Where are you at the minute in terms of what Newcastle's squad is looking like going into the new season?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, you have to kind of remember where we were a year ago and thinking like, okay, well,
I'm trying to forget.
Hopefully we might sign Willock in August. Like, that was it. That was it. So I'm excited. I think we've got some really great, we've got this amazing positive momentum from the second half of the season, which includes like Kieran Trippier, who was just a massive thing signing for us. Bruno, can't wait to see him like continue to flourish. You know, some really beautiful midfield partnerships and stuff starting to come out. So even if we hadn't made...
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Many or any signings at this stage, I'd still be like, well, we're going to, so it's okay, and B, I still have quite a lot of faith in this squad now with this management and who we've got in came in and who we got to come in January. My brain's not working very well. But we have made some really positive signings, some really exciting signings, ones that I think will elevate us, like in the way that, you know, we probably needed. You know, I thought we need a total midfield overhaul, and then Bruno comes in and like one person can elevate, like people come. I think you, do you remember you and I talked about it after January about how our squad will probably bring down the quality of the players that we're bringing in when actually they, I think they were like, come meet us up here. We can actually be great. I think a signing like Botman will do that for our defence. I'm very excited to see him play. I think he'll be really good. We do need another option for attack. We just do. But I feel pretty positive. I feel pretty excited about our upcoming season, given where what we've been doing with this summer. Nothing too flashy. I quite like that.
It's part two of this podcast. Had Si and Charlotte's view. They're both kind of really positive looking ahead to the new season. I can't help but agree with what you're saying.
Oh my God, I really thought you were going to like mic drop some kind of like, I think we've made terrible signings or something like that, just to be contrary.
Not at all, not okay, at all. Good. I think this is the thing, isn't it? It's how much surgery does the squad and the team need? And there is also the other side of it, and it's going to become a bigger thing, I think, as we go away on pre-season. You know, we're headed to Austria, then to Portugal. And there are a lot of players that Newcastle United have got to get rid of, either in a loan capacity or permanent capacity. Probably 10 players who Eddie Howe would move on if he could. Now, he's already moved on Hayden, so that's a good start. Dan Ashworth comes in and Hayden's away straight away. That was a positive start for Ashworth. But in terms of, you know, making space on the wage bill, that's obviously going to be, if you can get rid of 10 players and an average of 40 grand a week, there's £400,000 a week on the wage bill. Now, we're not going to be able to get rid of 10 players, and if we do get rid of a lot of them, we're probably going to have to subsidise some of those wages. But even then, an extra 250 grand a week on the wage bill, there's two, like, you know, cast iron first team players signing for 20 to 30 million quid coming into Newcastle United with their current wage structure. So that's really, really important, and it's not sexy to say, and it's not as interesting to keep tabs of. But like, as much as wanting to see Newcastle linked with very good footballers, I'm also really keen to start seeing some solid links, rumours from the players who we don't want into the Championship and beyond. Because realistically, that's where a lot of them are going to go. If anywhere, you're talking about Dwight Gayle, Carl Darlow, Jeff Hendrick, Kieran Clark, Jamal Lascelles, possibly now Botman's got here. There are a lot of them. You know, a player like Jamal, I watched the little YouTube clip the club put out, loving that content from Newcastle
20
United.
Minutes, little YouTube
yeah,
clip.
Yeah, that was an evening well spent, just watching the banter in the lads playing off each other. It was nice. But also you see Jamal Lewis there and you're like, oh yeah, what the hell, what happens with Jamal Lewis next season? Is he in the 25? Is he going on loan to a Premier League club, a Championship club? Is he any good? These are all the kind of things which Eddie Howe, I'm sure, will be looking at over the next few weeks. Like, how well has he come back from injury? How motivated is he? Is he better than Paul Dummett at left back? I'd say probably at the minute, but he might take a different view. So that stuff is really, really important in the next month, because I'm sure we will sign more players regardless, but we can definitely, in terms of wages, afford to do more if we get rid of like 6 to 8 of those players, Si.
Yeah, I agree entirely about this. And I hate to use the word dead wood, but there is quite a bit of what will become very quickly dead wood if it's not already. What I would say is that I'm a little bit less worried about this, because we're just not used to being the club that's trying to get its business done early. It's normally us that are waiting until the end of August to get a loan deal in. And I'd imagine most of the other clubs in the league who are financially stricter or in a less fruitful position will be, and that's when loan deals do happen, especially in the Championship. They'll be seeing what deals they can get done on their budgets, and then they'll get to towards the end of the transfer window and see what players they might be able to nick on loan and what deals they can do. And I think that's when those kind of moves for Dwight Gayle and Lewis happen. And maybe these players want to stick around for pre-season, see if they can prove themselves, try and be part of the squad. So I'd imagine a lot more of those moves will happen towards the end of the window, maybe not even in the next 3-4 weeks. It might be late August by the time we see some of these players shifted on, hopefully. But I'm thinking that the logic behind that is that other clubs don't behave like we do now, but in the absolute opposite way to last summer, when other clubs weren't behaving like us because we were so batshit.
No clubs ever we're on either end of the spectrum, yeah. Like the spectrum. We can't be in the middle. It's either we're signing loads of new mint players or we are not signing anyone ever. You just kind of, I had forgotten about that with all the sort of transfer activity coming in and the talks of people we're being linked with and all of that stuff. I had, you know, it's in my head, but I had kind of not thought about the fact that we really, really need to offload players soon. And that is a bit of a worry, isn't it? Because we're not hearing a lot about that.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot about Freddie Woodman. So they've actually got two out the door. Hayden's on a loan, which could be a permanent deal, and Woodman has gone on a permanent deal. Yeah, we need a lot more of that. Something to bear in mind about our transfer activity, and I forgot about this, you know, last season was such a whirlwind, particularly after October 7th, that we did burn Bruno and Target in the last 2 days of the January transfer window. Yeah. So it's not, I kind of think we've shown our hand there a little bit in terms, not shown our hand, but we as fans have seen a little bit about how the club are willing to wait clubs out, wait players out. So this Ekitike one, you know, who knows if he's going to sign, but Newcastle in January showed if we've got to do business late because that's the best time to do business, or that's the only time you can get certain players, then we're willing to do it. I think the fact that Howe's got three in for pre-season now is massive. I think playing with those players, training, watching them play, integrating them into his very specific, very aggressive style of play and his formation is really important. But yeah, let's see. It is exciting. You know, we do the transfer show every week. Emil and Adam and others do the transfer show on TF, on the Patreon, and also on our YouTube channel. So we're trying to keep abreast of it on True Faith. But I quite like the fact that stuff comes from nowhere. Like Nick Pope kind of signed, and he, you know, even though there'd been a couple of links, particularly before the season finished, it was quite nice that he kind of signed and within the 24 hours beforehand, no one really knew it was happening. I quite like the fact that Newcastle are able to do their business like that. You know, it's the total opposite of how it was done previously, where it was the worst kept secret in the world that a player was signing, and fans became more and more frustrated with the lack of announcement type thing. I know people are a bit funny about Botman, but that seemed to be down to Lille more than anything. I suppose we should move on now from transfer, since everyone's happy and everyone's happy with the state of the squad. I suppose just talk a little bit about where we think we are ahead of next season. This is going to be a big talking point for fans, as it should be. You know, this is the weird thing for us. We should be talking about how high can this team go next season, not will we get relegated, not will we be able to afford to have a cup run because we're not fucking 18th in the league or some shit. I really, really like the fact that it's a conversation, but sorry to kick off with you. As the squad stands right now, and then bring into it what you think we will do, where like Eddie Howe's got the lads in, so I'll put it to you this way. He's got the lads in on Friday and he's like, right, lads, first big chat of the new season. He's making a couple of jokes. He's like, Jonjo, well done for not putting on weight, all that kind of stuff you'd usually expect. What do you think he's saying to the lads? He's like, right, lads, we need to be in the conversation for top six next season. Is he saying we're not going to label ourselves with what success and failure is? Where do you think the squad are right now and the manager in terms of what they expect to be able to achieve next season?
I think that the former, I don't think he'll have a very vague target. I think he'll have some proper targets that we want to meet. I think that whole, I will take each game as it comes, is kind of, it's just naff. I think it's something that the previous manager might have said without committing to any kind of target or then changing his target as the season goes on regularly. I think he'll be talking about conversations for getting into Europe, and it'll be the kind of words that Sven Botman and Bruno Guimaraes want to hear. Maybe others in the squad. It's kind of Shelby's last chance to make a big name. And as you mentioned him, Wilson, coming to the twilight of his career, these players wanted to make a mark on the history books. So I think he'll be talking up, this is their chance, this is their time, and we're adding quality, we're adding players that can do that. And we now need to take the form of the end of last season and all the goodwill that's come from it and carry that on and get fit and really push on. I don't think it should be too difficult to motivate the players to strive for that and to aim for that. It's a very exciting time, and I think all the players will be buzzing for this after so many miserable years, not just under Bruce, but like, you know, the whole Ashley period for any of the players that have been there long enough, you know, your Shelby's and Dummett's who've been there longer than most, but they've probably not had a preseason quite like this where it's all positivity and it's all like, how high can we finish? And I think there'll be standards set, and that there'll be some serious, if you don't maintain the standard, your place is up for grabs, and that there'll be competition and there'll be individual targets for these players that if they're not meeting them, maybe it is things like fitness, maybe it is like, right, I want you to be able to run this distance in X number of seconds. You know, there'll be some serious stuff for the, if the players aren't meeting those standards, I think Howe will let them know.
Bleep tests for everyone. I love it. They did start doing that when it came in. I totally agree with Simon in that Eddie Howe, like, we didn't get Bruno, Botman, maybe even Trippier through the door without saying, this isn't a, like, in two seasons we're hoping to be in Europe. We're talking about next season. We're talking about finishing top eight, top six next season. And I, you know, with the caliber of players that we've brought in, with the momentum, as I said, that we've finished the season with, everybody's gone and had really, really lovely looking holidays. They've all got Instagram and it looks like they've all had a really lovely time. A couple of them, I think Bruno and Joe Linton got engaged. So congrats to them. I'm sure they're listening. But I just think, like, this, like, I don't know, there's something even about, like, engagements and, like, positive, taking positive action like that, that just feels like this is a club on a massively upward trajectory. Like a very steeply upward trajectory. And that is what Eddie Howe wants. He wants to prove himself as one of the greatest English managers. I'm sure of it. You don't spend 15 months in Europe learning off some of the best managers in the world if you are not an incredibly aspirational person and an ambitious person. And so I agree. I think we should be looking at that sort of comfortable top half of the table, you know. I'm so excited.
Excitement's the key word. And what I really like about Newcastle is at the minute is, although I haven't seen or heard anything official, you see from social media and some kind of not very clear photos that the whole of the inside of the ground or large parts of it seem to have been completely gutted. That, like, quietly doing things in the background, like quiet improvements, not just across the first team, but across the whole football club. The training ground's getting a massive upgrade. It's already had a lot of work done in it in terms of improving what's already there. Now they're building new stuff. All of this suggests a football club moving in the right direction. And as like you correctly say, Charlotte, you can't get players to sign for you by saying one thing and doing another. So if you tell Bruno Guimaraes, come here and we'll win the Champions League within your 5-year contract, you have to move pretty quick, and that doesn't necessarily mean like you have to finish fourth next season, but you want to be in the conversation. Yeah. You want to get to February, March, a bit like West Ham have done over the past few seasons, and be in a serious conversation to finish in the top four or at least the top six. You might not do it, but as long as you're in the conversation, you give yourself a chance. I think the players would accept that. And then it's a little bit like the owners of the club could say to Guimarães and to Botman, who have just signed, and Trippier, and even Nick Pope, throw him into that conversation. You know, we are providing the club with the assets. We're signing players. We're spending big money. We're bringing in new sponsorships. We're improving the training ground. We're improving the facilities within the stadium. Kind of over to you guys now when the season starts, when the whistle goes against Nottingham Forest. And the same thing for the fans. I promise you, when Forest tickets go on sale, I mean, what are we, like a month and 2 days from that game? So that I'd imagine tickets would go on sale. You know, I'd hope they'd go on sale maybe next Monday, 10 a.m. That website's going to crash.
Yeah.
Like, it is 100%. Absolutely going to crash. And your members and your season ticket holders wouldn't surprise me again to see a queue of 20, 25,000 just trying to get additional tickets for that one fixture. I've been contacted from people around the world looking to go to that game and wondering how to get tickets. And the answer is membership. And everyone then has a fair crack at being in that queue trying to get a ticket. Again, the club have to match that excitement factor from the supporters, and the supporters have to match that themselves when they're in the ground by supporting the team, making a noise, doing the displays that War Flags do. So everyone in the whole club, it is my sincere belief, if we all continue, players, owners, fans, if we continue in this vein, like, just try and stop us next season. That's my view. Like, that's how excited I am. Just try and stop us. I'm not saying we're going to win the league, but we won't win the league, unfortunately. But we could have a go. You know, the first game in the season, like, if we beat Forest, then we'll go to Brighton. Why can't we turn over Brighton? Then you got Man City at home. Fucking hell, we'll beat them.
If that happens, we are talking about winning the league after that. The podcast after we beat Man City, third game of the season, will be about when we win the league, or winning it in April or May this year.
Oh my God.
Stupid Newcastle fans.
After like three or four games last season, like, this out nailed on relegation.
Yeah. There's no hope. There is zero hope.
Getting ahead of ourselves, but I'm excited for next season. I really do believe that this football club is going to do something. And whilst there are fans who say, a bit like George Culkin at our live talking, he was like, you know, constant improvement is still good. Not being in a relegation battle, aiming for 10th place or higher. And that's a valid view for a lot of fans. And it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But, I know we've only signed a left back, a goalkeeper and a centre back, but I'm really excited to see who we bring in. I think we bring in one forward player of tremendous quality, not an Ekitike, who is one for the future, who would cost like 15 million euros or something. I'm talking big money. And that, you need big money in the Premier League to genuinely improve your front three or your forward line these days. You need 30 million plus. I mean, Chris Wood was 25 million, for God's sake. Like, that's what 25 million gets you these days.
That was a premium on him.
Callum Wilson was only
20,
but, you know, it was Callum Wilson, kind of, you know, you're going to get, if you're lucky, 15, 20 games out of him. And I think everyone kind of has had to make peace with that, as much as I'd love to be wrong for this second half of the season. So that's where we are looking into pre-season. I don't think there's too much else to cover. We'll have a new sleeve sponsor. That's nice. Seems to be some sort of,
who knows,
Saudi Arabian eBay or Amazon.
Yeah, Amazon, I think somebody said, didn't they? Somebody on our Patreon Facebook group, I was like, what is Noom?
Yeah.
Noon. It's noon, isn't it?
Yeah, like the time of day.
Noon.
No, noon. Oh, yeah. Noom is something else. Okay. Noom is something else. But yeah, it's not that nice aesthetically, because it's the rank yellow patch on the sleeve, isn't it? But never mind. Fine. Pay us the money. I don't care.
Yeah, I was just going to say before, the Instagram stuff, because seeing Callum Wilson do some, this is before preseason, started doing his little drills with Leon Best, of all people.
Was he?
Yeah. So he was on Leon Best's Instagram doing, like, getting fit before preseason.
You need to get yourself on Instagram.
Yeah, it's class. And then obviously you've got Maximan running up and down the Greek hills in whichever island he was on. Like, the players are obviously taking it serious as well, making sure that they're fit. I'd imagine last summer they were just all out, and all the stuff on Instagram was just pints at the beach with Bruce. Yeah, well, but
even the year before that, it will have been like, can you imagine John Joe Shelby? He's like, right, I'm going to get fit. We're probably going to sign players. I'm going to have to play for my place this season. Yeah. Who was signed? Jeff Hendrick. Another pint.
to be fair, I haven't seen much of John Joe Shelby doing pre-season athleticism.
But he doesn't, this is the thing, he does not have social media, so you can't.
He's busy.
This is the thing about these players. Great that you're keeping fit, lads. It's very much a modern thing. You have to film yourself keeping fit, or you get people on the True Faith podcast questioning if you even do it.
Yeah, sorry, John Joe. I'm sure you're
doing it. He's doing a fitness video at home.
He's playing golf. He's playing golf.
I think we'll leave it there. Thanks to you both for that. It's been nice to be back in the True Face studio, hasn't it? Even though we're a month out from season starting.
Yeah, I just tweeted a couple of pictures of you too.
Did you?
Yeah.
Sneaky.
Mid conversation, caption competition for anybody listening.
Yeah, so as most of you will have heard, we're releasing True Faith podcasts for free every single week of pre-season. We'll have Norman heading to Benfica. That'll be fun. We'll put some content out around that. And join us on Patreon, like I said, as we build up to the most exciting season ever. And failing that, we'll speak to you all on next week's show, whatever it'll be about, very soon. Cheers.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.